the wire.
United States President Barack Obama faces what some are saying is the most important decision he'll have to make in his presidency. What to do about Afghanistan? His vice president wants to scale back operations and focus on unmanned drone strikes of Al-Qaeda terrorist cells. The commander of the US and NATO forces in the country has warned the place might become Chaos-stan and wants thousands more troops and a change in tactics. The defense secretary just wants everyone to be quiet until the decision's made. I'm joined on the line now by Dr. Najibullah Lafrai. He's from the Otago University Politics Department, and he's also a former Minister of Information and State for Foreign Affairs in Afghanistan. Good afternoon, Dr. Lafrai.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for joining us on The Wire.
That's all right.
Now, having been part of governance in Afghanistan, do you feel that Obama's counterinsurgency strategy is working thus far?
I think General McChrystal has introduced some positive changes, but unfortunately it's too late. And I think the foreign forces, Western troops, have stayed in Afghanistan for too long, and they've become part of the problem, and they cannot be part of the solution. So the short answer is, unfortunately, no.
They've become part of the problem, they can't be part of the solution. What do you mean by that?
You know, Afghans welcomed American troops and later the Allies and NATO because they thought that they were there to get rid of the Taliban, to bring stability and leave in a year or two. But unfortunately, they stayed longer and they did not succeed in the aim that they had set for themselves, namely capturing bin Laden and Mullah Omar and even destroying the Taliban. And as you know, the Taliban are growing stronger, and not only the long-term stay, but the so-called mistakes that they committed, civilian casualties, cultural insensitivity, all these playing in the cultural and historical mindset of the Afghans. So now I think most Afghans see them as invaders, as occupiers. So this is why I don't think that increasing the number of troops would do any good in Afghanistan.
I mean, Afghanistan is you know, a historical quagmire for a number of countries. Most recently, Russia. You know, in the 1980s, would any tactics have been successful from the United States' point of view?
In some articles that I write, I argue that the best option for President Bush after 9/11 was to take care of the problem without sending troops to Afghanistan. Once the military option was chosen, once U.S. forces went inside the country, I think they didn't have any choice but to increase the number of troops. And as you know, they were able to get rid of the Taliban, to overthrow Taliban government with less than 500 special troops and CIA officers in Afghanistan. And then the number of troops increased to 2,000 and then 10,000 and 20,000. And now they are 100,000 and still not enough.
They want another 40,000. Well,
right,
McChrystal does.
What good that would do, I'm afraid that would lead to demand for more troops.
I guess they're basing that assumption on what happened in Iraq. The troop surge was largely seen as kind of successful there. Why wouldn't it be in Afghanistan?
I think there are different reasons. First, in Iraq, troop surge was not the crucial factor. The crucial factor was the awakening groups, as you may remember, the Sunni insurgents changing side. And they changed side because they were unhappy with what so-called Al-Qaeda in Iraq was doing. They were the non-Iraqis who were there and committing a lot of atrocities, and especially fanning the flame of religious sectional fighting. So the Iraqi insurgents had got tired of those foreign elements, and they wanted to get rid of them. And also they realized that the Shias, with their cooperation, by their cooperation with the occupying forces, were winning the upper hand. So this is why they changed side, and it coincided with the troop surge, so that, and that we don't have that situation in Afghanistan.
Mm.
And even if troop surge did play some role in Iraq, the situation is completely different in Afghanistan. In Iraq, al-Maliki, at least he had a measure of legitimacy, and his legitimacy, I think, was more due to his opposition to foreign troops in his country. As you may remember, when the United Nations mandate was running out, he did not agree with its automatic extension. He called for negotiations, and in those negotiations, he insisted on a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. and allies from Iraq. And that, more than his victory election, won him legitimacy in the eyes of the Iraqis. That is completely different in Afghanistan. The terrain is completely different in Afghanistan. The type of opposition that the U.S. is facing. You know, Iraqis, they had very comfortable life, and they were able to fight against the U.S. for several years. The Afghan insurgents, they have been born and raised in conflict. So to expect them to give up soon, it's unrealistic. So the situation is completely different.
Mm-hmm. You talked about, you know, the centralized government in Iraq being a large part of the success there. In Afghanistan, obviously, we've had the elections recently that, you know, are still drawing out allegations of fraud continue. Is there any political figure that Afghanistan people could, coalesce behind? And is Karzai that person?
I think the problem is not the lack of personalities. The problem is that the type of people upon whom the United States has relied. Even without the recent election problems, I don't think that the United States would have had an easy go in Afghanistan, but this, of course, complicates the situation much more. So I think rather than relying on individuals to take them out of this quagmire, what is necessary is what I call intra-Afghan dialogue. You know, there are a lot of calls for negotiations with the Taliban. Karzai have asked, and the Obama administration has shown readiness. The British have been for it. But I believe that talks just between Karzai government and the Taliban would be a mistake, because if it solves one problem, and if not done in the right way, it may create another problem. So I think what is needed first, the situation should be provided for all the Afghan prominent personalities and groups coming together, and that requires at least readiness of Western troops leaving Afghanistan, and then convening an intra-Afghan dialogue.
Mm.
So I'm sure that someone will emerge from that, such a convention.
Well, I mean, given your time in Afghanistan...
Sorry, your voice is a little bit low.
Sorry, given your time in Afghanistan up to the point when the Taliban captured Kabul City in 1996, do you think, I mean, is there the likelihood that that same situation could occur if the United States withdrew from the country?
I think much sooner. If the, you know, that Western troops are not there, I don't think that Karzai government would be able to stay in power even for a couple of months. So yes, I agree with those who are against the unconditional immediate withdrawal of Western troops, because that would lead to the demise of Karzai government and to more chaos and instability.
Mm. And I guess, given that most Americans, a majority of Americans, don't want their troops there at all, this is a very difficult decision for President Obama to make.
It is a very difficult decision, and unfortunately, the options that are there are not very appealing. The troop search, as I mentioned, I don't think would be effective. The cut-and-run policy, I wrote an article, an opinion piece, hopefully it would be published soon. I call it morally questionable and politically questionable. And middle course options, so-called middle course options that keep the troops, you know, increased a little bit and then rely on divide and what is called divide and rent the Taliban and to arm the tribal leaders and the warlords. I think that would combine the worst part of both worlds.
That sounds like...
So yes, the options are not very promising. Only one solution that I still see is something that was I proposed in 2006, and I think it still might be workable, and I'm happy that today I saw in Christian Science Monitor that someone else had written an opinion piece and confirming and emphasizing the same point of view, and that person called it a Muslim solution for Afghanistan, which requires replacement of Western troops with troops from the Muslim countries. I prefer United Nations involvement because they have experience in peacekeeping, and that together with a political solution and also a regional conference, I think that might be one of the very few hopeful solutions.
Well, Dr. Najibullah Lafray, thank you very much for your thoughts and your time this afternoon. Pleasure talking to you. Take care.
Good night.